So, Father, we come before you again this morning. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we thank you that your word is eternal. And so, Lord, as we continue through 2 Timothy, would you continue to speak to us? Would you give us to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say? And, Father, we do, in our mind over in Israel, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We do pray for the peace of the land. God, we pray that your will would be done. So many people who are going to be caught in this conflict, Lord, we pray for those people. And I pray, Lord, through this conflict that, Lord Jesus, you would be exalted, that people would come to know you, all people would come to know you. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. We ask you to bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in 2 Timothy. I get a drink here. 2 Timothy, we're going to back up to verse 1 of chapter 3, just to get a running start. And just to warn you, because of everything we've been doing this morning, we're going to probably only hit 3 verses. So here we go. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times or fierce times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Tell me if you've seen any of this. "Having a form of godliness or appearance of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make gullible or captive of gullible women or silly women or weak-willed women in a sense, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest or evident to all, as theirs also was." And so last week we covered that section talking about perilous times will come. There are perilous times that are going to come, and he describes what mankind is going to be like in those perilous times. And as we get closer to the end, you're going to see these things increase, and we're going to hit that today in verse 13, but you're going to see these things increase on a greater level. I talked about this last week. You tell me, guys, have you seen these things happening right now in our culture? Have you seen them gotten progressively worse in the last 10 years? My goodness, in the last year. Now, again, remember who Timothy is addressing. Timothy is addressing a pastor. He's addressing young Timothy, Paul, I'm sorry, did I say Timothy? I meant Paul. Bad pastor. Paul is addressing Timothy. Timothy, who he left in Ephesus to pastor that church. And so he's saying, all right, Timothy, you're going to pastor this church. And as you pastor this church, perilous times are going to come. And now he's going to say in verse 10, "But you," okay? "But Timothy, in light of this, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance." Now, you've carefully followed. That word means to follow faithfully. It means to follow faithfully in the sense of a standard or a rule, to confirm oneself to follow after. So to follow one as to be always at his side, to follow faithfully. And so what he's saying here is, but you have carefully followed. In other words, Timothy, you've carefully followed me. You've carefully followed me. First, he says, my doctrine, which is teaching. Now, do you guys remember when we went through, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11? And at the very beginning of that chapter, towards the end of chapter 10, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In fact, some of your translations may say, follow me as I follow Christ. What a thing to be able to say. Can you say that in your life? Can you say that to your kids if you have kids? Can you say that to your coworkers, other people, follow me as I follow Christ? And so in a sense, Paul already addressed this idea here, but he's saying to Timothy, look, you've carefully followed my doctrine, that is my teaching. Then he says, my manner of life or my conduct or my behavior, the way I'm living my life, you're watching it, you're following me. And then he says, purpose. The idea of purpose there is a setting forth a plan. Okay, you followed the plans that God put in my life, the purposes. Faith, of course, is kind of self-explanatory. Long-suffering. Long-suffering there means patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. Long-suffering. Then he goes on, he says, you've also carefully followed my love. That word for love is agape. It's the divine love. It's the self-sacrificing love. So Paul is telling Timothy, you followed all this. You followed me. You followed me as I've been an example to you. And then it says perseverance. That perseverance is hupomone in the Greek. It means to remaining under, okay? So these characteristics, in contrast to what the characteristics were of the people of the last days, or the perilous times, rather, Paul's saying, look, you followed my life. Could you say the same thing? If you were going to write a letter to somebody that you were maybe mentoring or discipling or however you want to put it, could you say these things? Because listen, here's the cool thing about this whole experience, or this whole thing here, is that Timothy, we find, is that Timothy is following the Lord as Paul followed the Lord, which is great. And see, we are to be examples to other people. Whether they follow the Lord or not, it's not up to us, it's up to them. But it doesn't change how we're supposed to follow, does it? And listen, I'm very mindful of that, of being a father, having two sons, you know, trying to be an example to them. Was I always perfect? No, I wasn't always perfect. In fact, I blew it numerous times. But the consistency was I always came back. I always came back to the Lord. I always tried to follow the Lord the best as I could and was an example to them. So whether they follow Christ or not follow Christ is not on me. It's on them as an individual. And that doesn't mean like, okay, so I'm sitting back saying, oh, I was wonderful. No, that's not what I mean. You follow what I'm trying to say here? And so same way, when Paul addresses Timothy as his son in the faith, he's saying, look, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Then he goes on in verse 11. Listen to what he says. He says, persecutions. Persecutions, the idea there is harassment or oppression. Persecutions. Then he says afflictions. Afflictions is a little different. Afflictions is an external, a suffering, a misfortune, a calamity, an evil, an affliction. So he's saying, not only did you follow my doctrine, the manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, but also my persecutions and my afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Why did Paul endure those persecutions? It was for Christ. It was for Christ. Don't ever forget that. The reason that Paul was persecuted wasn't because, well, the only reason was because he was a believer in Jesus Christ. That's it. He followed the Lord. See, the Lord had given him a plan for his life, purposes for his life, and Paul followed that purpose, and in the process, he was persecuted for it. And so here, Timothy was able to watch that. Because, see, listen, you can, honestly, you can fake it. You can fake being a Christian. You can. You can say all the right things. You can go to all the right meetings, but your life doesn't change at all. You know, kind of like what we said about last week when it said having a form of godliness but denying its power. You can put in the appearance. It doesn't mean it's true, but you want to know how you prove out whether you're really a believer? I'll tell you what proves it out. Persecution does. Affliction does. Now, does persecution mean necessarily that you're going to give your life for the Lord? No, not necessarily. But have you ever really been persecuted? And listen, we have this weird notion of persecution. Okay, persecution isn't because my latte from Starbucks was cold. That's not persecution. And persecution isn't because my parents weren't happy with the person I picked to get married to, which, by the way, they were happy, but I'm just telling you. Okay? That's not persecution. Persecution is based upon being a follower of Christ. You see what I'm trying to say? Yes, there's troubles that happen in our life. There absolutely is. But don't misconstrue that. We misconstrue that all the time. Persecution is caused, why? Because we're simply following Christ. We're simply following where he is leading us. And he may be leading to you. I don't know where he's leading you. That's between you and him. But understand something, that persecution will come. But Paul had it in his life. So he had in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. See, the Lord delivered. And here's the thing, the Lord can deliver us from persecutions. How? By letting us die. That can happen. Do you remember we went through Philippians and Paul said, man, I'm conflicted. I want to be with the Lord. So, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So listen, I'll stay here if God wants me to, but God, if you want to take me, go for it, because I want to be with you. See, how do you stop somebody like that? How do you stop somebody like that? Look, quite frankly, it's one of the reasons why we have the problem with the terrorist groups, because the terrorist groups believe that if they die, if they give their life in holy jihad, if you will, that they're going to be given virgins when they go to paradise. And see, if you really believe that, so you're going to live your life like that. And see, as Christians, do we really believe what the Bible says, that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord? Do we really believe that God has given us a plan and purpose for our life individually? And if he has, are we following it? Again, I can't tell you what that is. All I can do is say, well, look, all of us as believers have been called to salvation, okay? But then we all have another calling on our life, what God wants you to do with your life for him. That's between you and him. I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a missionary. Maybe God's just calling you to be a Christian doctor. Maybe God's just calling you to be a Christian lawyer or whatever, or a Christian Walmart worker. You know what I mean? Whatever. The point is, you follow the calling that God has placed in your life. You follow the purposes he has for you. And Paul could stand here, or write this rather, to Timothy and say, Timothy, you know my life. You watched me. You followed me as I followed Christ. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. It doesn't matter how things are going, because perilous times are going to come. Fierce times are going to come. There's going to be craziness. There's going to be crazy things. But are you following Christ? That's what matters. Are you following Christ? End of verse 11. And out of them, all the Lord delivered me. So the Lord delivered Paul. Put your finger here and turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, Old Testament. Psalm 34. We're going to be at verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. This is a psalm of David. Psalm 34, verse 19. David would say this. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Was David aware of persecutions and afflictions? Oh, he was. Now, some of us were his own doing, but he was fully aware of that. But notice what he says here. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. See, the Lord always delivers us in the way that he wants to deliver us. And here's the crazy thing. And I say crazy because it's crazy in our thinking as humans. In the midst of our afflictions, who is there with us? God is. And when I have affliction in my life, what I have found is I draw closer to God when I don't have affliction. Anybody relate to that? Why is it that when we have trouble is when we get on our knees? Why don't we get on our knees now? Now back to 2 Timothy. I read Psalm 34:19 to prep you for verse 12. You ready? Ready for verse 12? How many of you guys have verse 12 in your refrigerators? Here we go. As a promise verse. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Anybody? Anybody have that on the refrigerator? I didn't think so. You ever see that in the back of a bumper sticker for a car? This isn't a promise verse we like, is it? See, look, you are going to suffer persecution because you're trying to live for the one and only true and living God. That's why you're going to suffer persecution. You know, there are times where I've worked with people, my wife has worked with people, and they just don't like me. It's nothing I've done. Nothing I've said to them, but I'm convinced it's because, and I don't say this to make myself sound wonderful, it's because at those jobs, I've wanted to live for Christ and people don't like that. People don't like it. Now, it doesn't give you a green light to be obnoxious and a jerk either. That's not what he's saying here. But understand something, if you're simply living for the Lord, if you're simply following Christ, if you're simply fulfilling the call he's placed in your life, you are going to experience persecution at some point. Again, it may not be like, I'm going to die, give my life. It may not be like that. But I've been persecuted at my job. So many years ago, I was working at this one job. It's kind of ironic today. I'll explain in a moment. I was working at this one job, and I got called into the controller's office. And the controller was, guess what, talking to me about the conflict over in Israel. And this was like 2001, 2002. And I went in there and we were talking and I tried to explain it to him. Hey, the whole thing with Isaac and Ishmael and all that stuff. And I told him I was a Christian, told him about Christ, died for him on the cross, all those things. And his response to me was, you are a moron. Expletive, you are a moron. That's what he said to me. It's like, okay, if you believe that stuff. I walked out of his office. I was rejoicing because I was persecuted for sharing my faith. Like, I at first, it was like, I was like in shock that somebody professional, like in a corporate setting, would say this to me. Then I found out, as I've gone on my career, that people use expletives all the time in meetings. Anyway, I don't, but they do. But he said it to me, and at first I was kind of in shock. And I walked out of his office, started walking back to my cubicle, and I'm just like, I had this peace. I was like, this God, no. I know the early experience when they went and they were persecuted for sharing their faith. That's persecution. Now, does that mean I gave my life? No, I didn't give my life physically per se. What was interesting about the confrontation is, after that conversation we had, he would often ask me questions about stuff. Wouldn't address me the same way, obviously, but my point is, just simply standing there, telling him, explaining to him from the scripture what was going on, and then telling him about Christ, he didn't like it. He didn't like it. See, I don't know if you've noticed this. In the days we're living in, you can have the facts right in front of you, and people will reject what's right in front of them. They'll reject it, and they don't care. And why don't they reject it? Because here's why they reject the truth. They reject the truth because they don't want to change. They don't want to change. If we're being honest, it's one of the reasons why, even as believers now, that we aren't where we should be or doing what we should be doing, because we don't want to change. That's the truth. That's the truth. I know for me personally, that's exactly. God will tell me, you need to do this, and I'll say, no, I don't, because if I do that, that means this is going to change. Shouldn't change. I mean, it shouldn't be, I'm afraid of change. Because what am I afraid of? Because if I believe what the word says, and if what Paul is telling Timothy is true, and look, as you read throughout the New Testament, you will see that the apostles, that the Christians, that the disciples experienced persecution. Look at the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts again. You will see they experience persecution. It's going to happen. To what level? I have no idea. I don't say this to scare you. I don't. First of all, your being persecuted proves out the fact that you're following the Lord. Proves it out. See, it's easy to be a Christian when everything goes your way, isn't it? It's easy when you get everything that you want, quote unquote, isn't it? It's easy. It's easy to give God the glory then. It's hard to give God glory when there's trouble, when you're in affliction, when there's suffering. You ever been with somebody who has like a terminal disease, whether it's cancer, and it is another believer, and there's such a joy, and you're like, wow. I came to visit you to encourage you, and you encouraged me. You ever be encouraged by the stories you hear about our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted for their faith? Who literally give their life for the Lord. Who literally, even in light of the fact that they could lose their life, in reality, really lose their life, they keep doing what they're doing. You see, it's inspirational to us. It's to be an encouragement to us. See, again, we can't change that perilous times are going to come. We can't change that. It's going to happen. But what we can do is make sure we're right with Him, is make sure that we're following Christ, not somebody else. Like, my hope here as a church, I hope you come here because you follow Christ, not following me. We have a problem in the body of Christ today. People follow pastors that don't follow Christ. Because when the pastor falls, the church folds. Now, I say don't follow me, but then in one sense, I should be like Paul saying, yeah, follow me. Look at my example. See, that's the thing. If you kind of break it all down and you look at it like this, you look at this life that Paul is telling Timothy, look, you have followed my example, Timothy. You've followed it. I have all these characteristics. However, the main thing that proves whether or not you should follow me is the fact that I'm suffering persecution. I'm suffering affliction, but yet I'm still doing it. I'm still going. Why? Because my Lord called me. Because it's the purpose my Lord gave me for my life. And so he wants to be an example to Timothy. Because he knows in the role that Timothy has in this case, in this context, as a pastor, he's going to suffer affliction. He's going to suffer persecution. In fact, tradition tells us that Timothy was killed. He was beat to death. He was witnessing at a parade of processional for the goddess Diana in Ephesus. And according to tradition, he stood up and he shared the gospel and he wouldn't stop and they beat him to death. Look at the apostles, the original 12. Well, except Judas, but the original, the 11, all except for one, John, experienced a cruel death. Peter was crucified upside down. James was beheaded. And others. But listen, John, even though he didn't die, he was still persecuted, right? He was boiled alive in oil. He was exiled to the island Patmos. See, I love it when people say, well, I don't believe what the Bible says. I don't believe that this, really, you don't believe it? Well, let me tell you something. How is it that if this was all a scam, this was all a ruse, this was all a conspiracy, however you want to say it, how is it that these 11 men gave their lives? Gave their lives for a scam. They didn't. How is it that we have brothers and sisters who continue to be persecuted around the world and they give their lives, it's not a scam, they keep going? In fact, you ever notice where there's persecution, the church explodes? See, one of the issues we have in our country today is we're way too comfortable. Unfortunately, on the course that we're on, we're going to find out some very tough truths. I'm standing here telling you, I am not saying I want that. I don't want that. I'll take revival. I'll take rapture. But there's no guarantee that we're not going to face some kind of persecution. So what am I trying to say here? Or what is the Lord trying to say to us? The Lord is trying to say, look, despite all of this, here's the key. Are you following me? Are you following me? I'm the one who died for you. I'm the one who gave my life for you. Are you following me? He goes on, and we're going to stop here at verse 13. I've gone longer than I thought I was going to go. Verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, here's the thing. As we get into these perilous times, it's going to be where evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Again, I ask you, look at our culture, look at the world. What do you see? Evil men, right? Imposters will grow worse and worse. And you see it now. Deceiving and being deceived. Is it hard to know the truth in these days? The answer is yes. Look at the whole Israeli-Hamas conflict. It's hard to know what's true, isn't it? Now, as we get closer to Christ's return, it's just going to get worse. But what is our anchor, guys? What is our foundation? Right here. It's this. It's this. Do you know this? And I'm not saying, do you know this in a sense, oh, I'm a theologian, I know everything. That's what I mean. Do you know about this? Do you know the Word of God? I'm repeating things. I'm getting into my sermon next week. Okay, I need to stop. But do we know this? Understand something again, and simply put, are you following Christ? If there's anything you take away from today for me, are you following the Lord? I can tell you from my own experience. I can tell you what my life was like before I followed the Lord to now when I follow the Lord. And there's no comparison. There's no comparison. The blessing, the love, the grace, the power, the strength I now experience in walking and following the Lord doesn't compare to before. Are you following the Lord? It doesn't matter what's going on out there. It doesn't matter what's going on here or there or around the world. Are you following Christ? That's the key. Are you following him? That's an answer, or that's a question you're going to have to answer yourself. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the truth of your scripture. And Lord, there may be somebody here this morning who doesn't know you, who thinks that, Lord, they can do this life on their own, who thinks, who blames everybody else and whatever, but thinks that they can actually do this without you. Lord, I pray that today that your word would pierce their heart and they would realize, Lord, that they need you. They would realize, Lord, that you died for them on the cross of Calvary. And then, Lord, as they realize this, they would put their faith and trust in you, that they would open their heart by faith, that they would express to you, Lord, that Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner and I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me, Jesus, and be the Lord of my life. It's that simple. Perhaps, Lord, there's people sitting here today who do know you and have wandered off. They've wandered off course. They're not following you. They're following a man or a woman, or they're following a government or a leader instead of following you. Would you bring them back to the right course? Would you bring them back to following you, Lord? Would you bring them back? And then perhaps, Lord, there are others here who are troubled. We're struggling. We're afflicted. Would this be an encouragement to them? They're in good company. They're in good company, Lord. You say that if we desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, we are going to experience some kind of persecution. And you don't say this, Lord, to scare us. You say it to encourage us. That just like those who went before us and those who are experiencing around the world, Lord, we're just like them. Would you help us, Lord, to live godly for you in these last days, in these perilous times? Would our focus and our eyes be on you and not this world? Lord, this world is not our home. This world is not our home. Our home is heaven. Would we think in those terms and would we walk in that truth? And we thank you again, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.